Good evening, everyone. The Village Zendo is honored tonight to have visiting teacher Reverend Isho Fujita. He's with us from San Francisco and Japan. He seems to split his time between those two places. And we are very honored and glad to have him here for a Dharma talk tonight. Thank you, Reverend Isho.
Okay. Good evening, everybody. Very nice to be here. Thank you for having me. Please relax. I already relaxed? You don't look like relaxed. You know. Show me the my name is Isho Fujita. Just people call me Isho-san. Isho-san. Just you can call me Isho-san. And I lived in Massachusetts for about 18 years, from 1987 till 2005. Western Massachusetts, I lived at Zendo, a small Zendo called Pioneer Valley Zendo. 2005, I came back to Japan with my family, and I thought that's the end of my connection with the United States, but I don't know what kind of karmic connection worked, but 2005, I was assigned to be a director of Soto Zen Buddhism International Center in San Francisco. So since then, I'm trip back and forth between Japan and San Francisco. And as a director, my job mainly is to visit Zen centers and Zen temples all over the world. Not Australia or not Africa, but mainly North America, South America, Hawaii, and Europe. So far I visited many Zen temples and Zen centers and enjoy practicing together with people with different language, different background, different personality, and so on. It's amazing that whatever I visit, I'm doing the same thing. And so instead of, during Zazen, we don't have to talk about, we don't have to talk, you know. So wherever I am, feel like I'm doing the same thing, you know. So, and that's connecting me directly with the people with different culture, different background. And I feel very fortunate to be able to meet with people, not through business or any anything else than the Dharma. So here for the first time I'm sitting here and then speaking to you. Oh, okay, so should I speak slower? I totally forgot. I'm so for the first time to be in a Broadway Street Soho sitting in front of you, but we sat twice, two periods of Zazen, and I feel very much at home being with you. So I have half an hour to share my experience and thoughts about particularly Zazen. So this is just for your, as a seed of your, how I say, thought, food for thoughts. I hope it's thought-provoking or inspiring or stimulating, at least. Some little help for your practice. Right. I prepare, but I change my mind. Maybe I speak spontaneously. While I'm staying at Valley Zendo in Massachusetts, I have a chance to teach how to do Zazen for a group of people with no previous experience, maybe 20 or so people. I'm asked to teach how to sit Zazen. And none of them have experience before. So I as you know, I demonstrate how to cross legs, how to make a posture, you know, hand shape, tucked in your chin, keep your back naturally straight, and then so on. And then with not only talking about it, but also I'm showing them how to do, you know, right, so that they can understand, you know, with my poor English. And then I talk about the breath, you know, breathe naturally, deeply, through your nose, and so on. And then, of course, I cannot show my mind, but I have to say what to do with the mind. So keep letting go of your thought. Mind arise, thought arise, let go. You know, something like that, this kind of gesture. I said, okay, all right, we understand. So after, you know, very detailed instruction, I said, when you hear the bell three times, that's the beginning of zazen. So please do what I said, what I instructed. Bing, bing, bing. Okay? 20 minutes. And then after 20 minutes, I rang a bum twice. And that's the end. And let me talk what happened. So while they are listening to the three bells, they are kind of enjoying the Buddhist bell. Maybe none of them heard of the bell, sound of Buddhist bell. I have a nice one from Japan. So, bam, bam, oh, they're enjoying. Then right after the third bell, I could feel that they start doing something. Zazen, right? Okay, the bell rang. We have to start zazen as instructed. And as you can imagine, obviously they are struggling with the instruction, you know, or the pain, or, you know, pushing their back like this, and then checking their hands like this, and then, you know, 45 degree angle, is this 45 or 60, something like that, and then all of them are struggling in their own way. But anyway, they're struggling, right? Bad instructor, I felt. Looking at them, I felt I'm a bad instructor. Wow. And then when I ring the bell, everybody feel relieved. So I asked them what happened to them during zazen. And everybody complained. Isshō, I'm so much pain, you know, so difficult to focus, you know, and so on. The list of the complaints, maybe all of you are very familiar with those list of the complaints, right? So I had to tell something to them. So I said to them this way: sorry, I'm a bad instructor. You know, for most of you, the zazen was nothing but the struggle, right? But I saw there's two moments when you are not struggling. First moment is while you are enjoying the bell of the beginning, right? And then second moment is when you're listening to the second bell. Felt relieved, all right, zazen is over, right? So what does this imply? I asked the question, what does this imply? When you are not struggling, when you are not struggling with, you know, try with the effort, try to follow the instruction, you have a moment of, and I said this, what you did in the name of zazen is supposed to be a dharma gate of delight and ease. They are bursting into laughter. Look like, no, it's a joke. Don't joke me. You know? But I said, no, this is not a joke. The founder of my school clearly said zazen is a dharma gate of delight and ease. So if you don't experience delight and ease in zazen, something wrong with it. Right. But you feel the moment of delight and ease, at least two moments, as I said, in the beginning, when you're listening to the sound of the bell, of the beginning and end. And actually, I learn a lot about from this experience. If they forget about following instruction, the gate of delight and ease opens. And as soon as they try to follow the instruction, the gate closed. What does this mean? So that's the beginning of my investigation or inquiry about Zazen. Somehow it shifted my approach to Zazen. Okay. So usually, as an instructor or practitioner of Zazen, we tend to do Zazen like them. We interpret instruction. We receive instructions from the teachers, or DVD, or books about the posture, about the breath, about the state of the mind. And then we register those instructions, we program our mind to follow the instructions. And then impose it too strong, maybe, impose the order onto body, breath, and mind. And force them to follow the instructions, to achieve the ideal posture, ideal way of breathing, ideal state of the mind. So instruction is keep your back naturally straight, and the instruction for breath is breathe naturally, and the instruction for mind is let go of your thoughts, keep your mind naturally function. But we try to do those three things very unnatural way. You understand why I said unnatural way. When we do Zazen this way, we never get agreement from the body, breath, and mind. We never ask them to follow my instructions. Right? We never ask them, please follow my instruction, will you? No, right? Without any agreement or any contract, we just order them to behave in a certain way. As if you are the master, they are slaves. And with this approach, naturally, you experience rebel against the instructions because it's unnatural to them, right? Even a pet will rebel against the order with that kind of quality. So if we have difficulty of Zazen, or if the gate of delight and bliss does not open, it's not Zazen's fault, but our fault. So we have to change the approach of controlling mode, manipulating mode. I don't know, you can name it in many different ways. Instruction, receive instruction, and then top-down order goes. So it's kind of imposing the order from outside, forcefully. So that's a description of one approach. This is a very technological approach. In a Greek word, there's a term which can describe the quality of this approach very nicely. It's called tekne. Tekne. It's an etymology of the technology or technique. The definition of tekne as a human action is like this. Poking nature. Poking means poking, stimulating nature, or cheating the nature to extract what is hidden in the nature for the sake of human usage. That's called techne, right? Technique, technology. The good example is a nuclear power plant. We poke the nucleus, then extract the energy from it, right? For ourselves, to enjoy these things. So that's one area of human activities. We can make a lot of examples of this kind of tekne type of human activities. We tend to do zazen in a tekne way. But according to Dogen, zazen should be practiced totally different mode. Because in Shobo Genzo, he described another mode in this way. Completely let go of your mind and body, casting your body and mind into the house of the Buddha, and then everything is taken care of from the Buddha, and just following it without expending your strength or using your mind, you go beyond birth and death, become the Buddha. Well, this is my rough translation of the paragraph in Shobo Genzo, Birth and Death. So you can take a look at it. That's very, to me, shocking description about zazen. Because for us to become Buddha is to sit zazen properly, right? So what Dogen described, casting away your body and mind into the house of Buddha, everything taken care of from the Buddha, and we just follow it. This should be a description or prescription what we should do in zazen. And I look back, my zazen is totally different. My zazen was totally tekune approach. I have been practicing zazen in a tekune way. So I was kind of shocking insight. I'm doing something totally different from zazen, believing it is zazen. And the pair words for tekune is poiesis. Poiesis? This is the etymology of poem or poet. The definition of poiesis is like this. The nature abundantly share what is hidden in herself with us. It's a sharing from the nature's side for ourselves. Example is like a flower. Or warmth of the sun, sunshine. Maybe this air, we never pay for it, right? Like maybe eventually, maybe sooner or later, we pay for it. Due to the excessive tekune activity. So, and all the equipment for us to be alive, that's free, right? You never paid. At the end of your life, you never get a check. You just return, right? So we are based. We base our life on the poiesis, right? Zazen is, I think, tuned to this poiesis-ness. of our life. The house of the Buddha or Buddha in that context is nothing but the function of the nature. So Zazen should be performed in the poiesistic way. So how to do that? What does it mean by letting go of both your mind and body into the house of the Buddha? What does it mean? Or how to do it? So this approach starts from the sensing what is happening in the body, breath, and mind. Instead of imposing the order from outside in, but knowing or sensing what actually is happening in your body, breath, and mind. So it starts from here, not from outside. Instruction coming from outside, right? But this approach is asking body, breath, and mind, how are you? How is it going? Tell me, how are you? So it's very different approach. Instead of saying to the body, breath, and mind, because they said so, you should be this way. It's a ultimate statement of the mother. I learned since I came to America, and the member's daughter keep asking mom, you know, why? Mother said, you should do this. Why? Mother said, because. And then ask, why so? And then keep asking. You know. And then this mother was very patient, but eventually yelled at her loudly, because I said so. And I never heard of that expression in Japan, but I got what she wanted to say. So it's very... Clearly, I get what she wants to say. So most of us are doing Zazen with this because I said so, because they said so, because teacher said so, because tradition says, because Buddha said so. But the poiesis approach is different. Buddha suggests us to ask the body, how is it going? So it's not imposing, but sensing. We become more receptive. And then we sense the deeper part of the brain receive the feedback information, and then like a brain stem, not neocortex, but brain stem, or deeper part of the brain receive this subtle information about what's going on there. And then our body has a natural self-regulatory mechanism as a result of long evolutionary process. Right? I call this self-regulatory mechanism prajna. It's amazing wisdom. I don't translate prajna as a wisdom. It's intelligence. Tremendous intelligence. Right? And then it's give not the order, but some, but not from the neocortex, to change, because self-regulatory, detecting some information, and then this is manifested as some impulse to correct or regulate the body posture, breath, and the mind. And then we sense this change, subtle change, and then again. So this cycle, self-regulatory cycle, start, kick in, and then functioning. And that's naturally lead us to better posture, better does not mean closer to the instructions. This approach, we don't know yet the final answer. The first approach, there is the answer. Okay? Posture should be this way. Okay? Then we mold our body into the ideal posture, no matter what. There is already answer. But this second approach, the poiesis approach, we don't know yet. We are learning what is the better posture. How is a better posture? So every time we are a beginner, we cannot rely on your past experience or someone else's experience. So working together with this self-regulatory mechanism, we are every time learning from the body, breath, and mind. You see the difference? And our attitude is totally different. Tekne approach, this is a forceful action, if I borrow the term in Dogen. Dogen has a pair, look like tekne and poiesis. Goi, Japanese, literally means forceful action. And unyi, literally translate spontaneous action, such as yawning. Yawn? You never order, right? It's just spontaneously happen out of necessity. Maybe your body needs to do some particular way of breathing. Yawning is breathing, right? We don't know how, why, but it happens. And also, action, how do you call it? Action. Eh? Sneeze too. Of course, you can do, you know, artificially. But that's artificial sneezing, right? Natural one, somehow, what evoke sneezing or yawning? Right. We already have those prajna paramita, maha prajna paramita here. Actually, not within the scheme, but actually, maha prajna paramita, I mean, is this. Because what I have in the self-regulatory mechanism cannot function without this. It's a part of this. So there's no inside, outside. It's together. So wisdom is outside too, not only inside. We have to change the common sense, you know, dichotomous, you know. So wisdom, where is wisdom? We cannot pinpoint here or there. So how to use it? This. It. In Zen term, immo in Japanese or Chinese, like, which means what? What? This what? That is the prajna, maha prajna paramita. So I hope I can convey some idea about not new approach, but non-conventional mode or approach to the Zen. Zazen should not be practiced based on a conventional way of understanding. Otherwise, it becomes just exercise. It's just a training the muscle, right? So 1, 2, 3, 4, and then, okay, getting bigger. So 1 period, 2 period, something like that, counting. And then my muscle of enlightenment getting bigger, something like that. If we don't have other paradigm or other mode, if we have only one type of effort, we naturally do that in a very unnatural way. Right? So I try to introduce you the non-conventional, or like a Buddha way, not an ordinary way, but Buddha way of doing Zazen. And Dogen, to me, emphasized this paradigm in many different ways, using many different ways of expression. So after my experience I mentioned with the beginners group, maybe it takes me like since then, 15 years or so, I reread the Buddhist scriptures and Dogen's writings under the new light. Until then, I didn't notice those two, the difference between those two tekune poiesis way. And then I'm curious about how to articulate the second way, poiesis, unyi, the spontaneous way. And, you know, I'm borrowing other pair words from other areas, like philosophy, art, and so on. I think the Qigong or yoga, those ancient spiritual practice, should be done in the same way as Zazen. But most of us are doing it in a technological way, technique way, tekune way. So that means the yoga is reduced to just stretching. Or Qigong is reduced to just lifting up arms, lifting down, pushing down the arms. Otherwise, the Qigong yoga Zazen is the gate for us to enter into a totally different world. It is designed for that purpose. But not yoga or Qigong or Zazen's fault, but our fault, due to our fault, we are doing something totally different. So maybe even we get more muscular, but nothing changed in qualities. No transformation. Just we extend our commonsensical understanding of life, ourselves, and the world the same, right? Otherwise, it's just a slogan. If you sit 1 second of the Zazen, you are 1 second Buddha. It is written that way, right? How to realize or embody? I think it depends on how we do it. So the conclusion is the Mahaprajna Paramita is not a result of our long-term practice. We should practice based on the Prajna Paramita we already have and already happening. What makes this a fun turning around is a Prajna Paramita. The fact you are, you can understand what I'm saying is a Prajna Paramita. It's a mystery to me. Why the thought I have in my head can conveyed, can be conveyed to your brain. And if I have a joke, you laugh. Right? Not all of you, but some of you laugh. Isn't this a miracle? Huh? So I think if you read the Zen record, they're talking about this. Miracle is not walking on the fire or walking on the water. Miracle is this. Now if you look for the miracle outside of this, then you already get astray. Astray? Yes. Oh, yeah. So I hope you get some message from my poor talk, and then think about, rethink about your approach to Zazen, or approach to your life too. The attitude towards Zazen can be extended to the approach or attitude to the life itself. What you are doing with Zazen is exactly what you are doing with your life, and vice versa. So it's a serious matter. So let's think about this. Thank you.